I found that sales is really about that. It's helping people get what they want. We specialize in designing food forests as well as the self-sufficient homesteads.
Hello and welcome to the Permaculture Vine podcast, where we talk about permaculture careers, education, and business. I'm your host, Cormac Harkin, and today we have Matthew Britt on the show. Welcome, Matthew.
Hey, Cormac. Great to see you, buddy. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for joining us, and good to see you as well. Do you want to just give us a quick introduction for the audience? Just a brief introduction of who you are.
Yeah, sure. I'm Canadian, father of two, expecting a third, and been working in self-sufficiency for close to 8-9 years now. Prior to that, I was in the health and fitness world for a couple decades almost. And when I discovered the solar energy world, I ended up building a business there. And while doing that, I ended up coming across Food Forest Abundance and Jim Gale. And at that time, I had no real knowledge of permaculture. I'd heard the word before, but really knew nothing about it. And as I was working with this large U.S. solar firm as their head of business development, and I came across Jim, the first thing I thought was, there's a great opportunity here for collaboration. Two companies that are aligned in the sense that they're helping people be self-sufficient, and let's find a way to work together. And as I brought as I brought Food Forest Abundance to the CEO and my partner in the solar business, he just wasn't ready for it at the time. So as I got to learn more about what Jim was up to and about permaculture, I realized that there was a much greater opportunity here to help people all over the world. And I made a complete pivot. I had zero experience, really knew nothing about the stuff, and decided to dive in. So now I've been with Food Forest Abundance for 2.5 years, a little bit more than that. And my role inside the company is sales and strategic partnerships, as well as sitting on the executive team, helping just with, you know, corporate strategy and direction of the overall business. And it's been a remarkable journey helping people in 54 countries now. We've done a tremendous amount of growth in a short period of time. We launched on Earth Day of 2021. And Earth Day just passed yesterday. So 3 years old as a business.
Yeah. Great stuff. So you've actually, hopefully a good, normally people get into permaculture and then think about, right, how do you get into sales and marketing? But you're obviously come to permaculture with all that experience.
Yeah. I have lots of experience in the sales world. It's one of my favorite things to do because I love people. I love just making friends, showing my friends what I'm up to, and helping my friends get started with me if it's the right thing for them. If not, you know, just stay friends and build a great relationship. I've found that sales is really about that. It's helping people get what they want. And people love to do business with their friends, like people they know, like, and trust, right? And all things being equal, they'd rather do it with someone they like as opposed to someone they don't. So I've just always kept that really simple philosophy of make friends, show your friends what you're up to, stay their friends whether they do it with you or not. You know, eventually the time might be right or not, but ultimately you have a new friend.
Great stuff. So you didn't hear about permaculture until you met Jim?
I'd heard of permaculture, but I did not know what it really was.
And you want to just tell us about that? Just learning about permaculture. What did you first think about it? You're obviously inspired.
Very much so. Yeah. I was inspired by permaculture and what it meant to us as far as humanity and nature goes, because it really was that way that we could reconnect with nature. I have felt for a long time that as humans are going right now, we continue to be moved into these concrete jungles, right? Getting further and further separated from nature, further separated from our food production, further separated from each other. And what I really saw as value from permaculture's perspective was how it completely did the opposite. It brought us back in connection with nature. It brought us working with nature again, realizing that we're not separate from nature. We are part of nature. We are nature too. And being able to reconnect with that, I realized that stress would change, right? How humanity is, especially in the Western world, overstressed, overworked, undernourished, and just poor health. This would reverse all of that in a very simple fashion. Get people reconnected with nature, get them reconnected with their, where their food's coming from, remove the poisons from the system, empower them to be more self-sufficient, and get them set up in a way that they walk with a new confidence because of the strength of their current foundation when they build a new life on permaculture. And I don't mean that they now dive into permaculture, become designers and all that stuff, but that they now have their home and the land around their home providing for them, and that they're reconnected with nature. They're now realizing that being a part of it is the better way.
Yeah, definitely. Something that's a pity we have to work at it so hard. Previous generations, it just happened.
Yeah, well, as I talk to thousands of people over the past couple of years, you know, I've realized that when people think of growing food, the primary things they think about are, or the images they hold in their head are things that fight nature. When you think about food production today, most people think about an annual garden or a monoculture farm. And both of those fight nature every step of the way. So they say things like, I don't have a green thumb, I can't grow anything, I don't have time for that, it's too much hard work, etc. But the reality is, when you let nature do what nature does best and you don't fight it, you work with it, it takes care of all that stuff for you.
Yeah, and so, the benefits, yeah, it's easier and you're out there in nature, which is recreation, and yes, you enjoy it and it's better for your health. Get your hands dirty. Antidepressants in the soil. We could go on. There's loads of stuff.
Exactly. Reconnecting with nature changes it all.
Yeah, definitely 100%. And that's what Food Forest Abundance Health people do.
Yeah, and we've done it in a big way, and it was something we're very proud of to date, and we're very excited about the future. We continue to add layers of opportunities for our stewards to be more and more self-sufficient with incredible products and services and technologies provided by great strategic partners, because the reality is people are realizing every day that giving up their power to these centralized systems, big corporations and government to take care of them, is not a wise move, right? Those companies, most of the time, or the governments most of the time, are serving their own vested interests, not yours. So let's empower people and bring that back. Let's give people food production systems, energy production systems, water, and even into the healing component. It's time we take our power back.
Yeah, definitely. Just before we get into the FFA, but how did, so you're learning about it. Are you living a homestead, don't you?
So I don't live in a homestead. No. I had for about a year. My wife and I were out on 100 acres and had some great stuff going on there, but we relocated back towards the city as my wife's sister had her first baby. We're expecting another one. So it was a short-term move. Our next move will be out to a larger homestead. Actually, we intend to do a Freedom Farm Academy.
Oh, great stuff. So what did you, were you on the homestead when you started with the FFA?
I was not.
Right. No. So you'd already left. Right. So, you know, now I've got to the question. So when you go back to the homestead and back on land, what different things will you do?
Well, I'll definitely get a food forest in the ground. I'll definitely get myself chickens again, because we loved having the chickens. They're fantastic. The eggs and just like kind of like our children love them. It was cool to have those things around. But the primary thing would be getting a food forest in the ground right away. You know, really getting that place all thoughtfully designed and getting it as self-sufficient as possible, as quick as possible. And then turning it into a place that we utilize to educate other people and demonstrate to other people. Because of the disconnection and what, as I said, the images people hold in their head around food production, they hold similar stuff around self-sufficiency or off-grid, right? They think off-grid cabin in the woods with nothing, but that's not the reality either anymore. You can have all the luxuries and be self-sufficient. So we would set up these things and then very quickly be working to bring other people to that location so they can see it too.
Yeah,
make it real for them.
All right, so I think the biggest thing in self-sufficient, you have to be community sufficient because you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah.
So, and then so you're trying to create that community through the Freedom Farm Academy. Do you want to tell us about the Freedom Farm Academies?
Yeah, so at Food Forest Abundance, like I said, as we've talked to thousands of people and started realizing we've got this education gap to close or this image in their head to change, we realized that the words alone weren't doing it. And we needed to actually get people to go and experience what a food forest is all about, what permaculture is all about, what self-sufficiency is all about. So as we started sending people to walk through the food forest, 100% of the time, the image changed. They got it. And they decided to implement it into their own life in some capacity. So it told us we need way more of these demonstration locations. And then as we got thinking about the demonstration locations, we realized we have either a missed opportunity or a massive opportunity, depending how we go. The missed opportunity and massive opportunity is the same thing. It's showcasing not only the food production systems, but let's also show them all the other things that exist to help them with food. Let's show them, yeah, permaculture, food forest, but let's bring in vertical gardening and aquaponics and electroculture and aquaculture and all of those pieces. Let's bring in animal husbandry where possible. But let's also show them the energy pieces, the solar and the wind and the geothermal and the solar evacuated tubes and hydro where possible. Let's show them how to capture and store rainwater and move it around the property. But let's also bring in things like atmospheric water generators and maybe primary water technologies. And then we realized let's also showcase healing because all of those things fit very well together in the self-sufficiency piece. And as we got thinking about that, that's what we landed on, which we then decided to call a Freedom Farm Academy. And to keep it really simple, you can think about a Freedom Farm Academy like an Apple store, you know, the technology company Apple that lets you go into those stores and really try everything and then make a decision what they want to buy. That's what a Freedom Farm Academy is. It's a location you can go and experience all of this stuff, try it, see it in action, and then decide what you want to implement into your own life.
You mentioned a whole lot of different aspects of a Freedom Farm Academy. And you mentioned strategic partners. I take it you're partnering with people that provide all these different things.
Yeah. Yeah. We know we can't do all of it on our own. We know there's a lot of incredible companies out there that are providing great products and services and technologies to help people. And we do that. We find them, we bring them into our network and form collaborative relationships. We know we need other great companies to really achieve what we want. And that's what we really specialize in that. And once we have those partnerships set up, we shine a light on these companies at the Freedom Farm Academies.
So if a company out there wanted to contact you, what kind of companies are you looking to link in with?
Anything that's providing stuff to help people be self-sufficient on any level. If they're helping people with food, energy, water needs, healing needs, et cetera, we'd love to explore a conversation and see what's possible together.
Great stuff. So what are you Food Forest? Do you want to just tell me what Food Forest Abundance do? We've had a lot of Food Forest people on. So you want to just go over that again?
Well, Food Forest Abundance really is a design firm. We specialize in designing food forests as well as the self-sufficient homesteads. We've done designs which started off as a target market with the suburban backyard, which quickly grew into churches and schools and orphanages and hotels and resorts and stuff at golf courses. We've really broadened beyond just the suburban backyard, but we're a design business. And once we have the designs done, we hand those off to what we call our cooperative install partners, who go and fulfill the installation and bring those designs to life. So we design both food forests as well as self-sufficient homesteads. And then we demonstrate by designing the Freedom Farm Academies.
Yeah, good stuff. And just for, I am a food forest abundance designer.
Yep. You are one of our teammates.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying, I had a sabbatical there. I'm enjoying being back.
Awesome.
And so there, is there opportunities for designers and installers as well?
There are, yeah. If people have a permaculture design certification or would like to get one and are interested in a career within permaculture, we have a great pathway forward. We'd love to speak with you. Can share, you know, our current location and where we're going, you know, the big picture of what Food Forest Abundance is all about, and help you build a career helping people discover this incredible science, as well as getting into the design work and helping really bring people's properties to life in a big way. And then from the installation side, we have opportunities for people to join us and build. Think about it like a landscaping food production installation business, right? So we have opportunities for both of those things, and we'd love to speak with anybody who's open and interested in learning more about it.
Great stuff. And so we go back to this sort of your own background in sales and marketing, and someone like myself, a designer, I get work from FFA. So in terms of sales and marketing, how would you advise that somebody who's just got a PDC, wants to set up a business, would go about learning about sales, and how would they get better at it?
Yeah, books. Yeah. There's a lot of phenomenal books about the topic. I'm actually reading one right now called The Greatest Salesman in the World. I don't know if that's showing up backwards to you or not.
No, it's showing up fine. Og Mandino.
Yeah, Og Mandino, Greatest Salesman in the World. So there's lots of books on the topic of sales. I would also highly encourage people to get out into their market. Meet new people. Go to business networking events. The other really powerful piece today when it comes to generating opportunity is the internet, right? So doing things like what you're doing with the show, but also learning how to do internet marketing or hiring someone who's got that skill set that can bring you people. It's a huge opportunity. There's obviously billions of people connected to the internet today, and lots of people are looking for this. People are realizing every day that their self-sufficiency is important. Them growing some food is important. So the clientele is out there. We just need to find them. And there are many channels to do so. But it's learning and getting maybe a little bit uncomfortable, taking some risks, and alongside of that, setting some goals for yourself so that you can take daily action towards achieving those things.
Are you familiar with Mike Wunnett at all?
I'm not.
He's a guy in the UK. So he basically has he calls him the Contrapreneur Series. So he looks at the likes of Dean Graziosi, Grant Cardone, all these big names. And he basically plays Contrapreneur Bingo.
Okay.
So it's like bullshit backstory. Yeah, price ends in a 7. How do people navigate that kind of stuff? Like, from what's real and what's false, basically, and what's his title as the Contrapreneur, and some of them are genuine and they have value to offer, but it's like, how do you sort out like a permaculture person who just knows nothing about this, and then you go online and look and you have all this information coming at you?
Yeah, there's definitely information overload, and the reality is, once you grab some information, you got to take action on it, right? There's all kinds of different sales methods, but you got to figure out what works for you. The proof, though, is in good communication, be able to build a good relationship, good communication, and then utilizing things to educate the people that you're talking to, and then being able to consistently stay in touch with them. Follow up, follow up, follow up. Because today, I'm sure most people that have heard that the vast majority of people take about 7 exposures, 7 to 9 maybe, to make an educated buying decision, especially about something they've never heard about before. Well, that number has grown substantially now because of the amount of noise coming at people. So now it's 14, 15, 16 exposures before someone will take an educated buying decision. And it's because they've got so many things coming at them now. So there's important things around you and your skill set about communication. There's some simple things that I like to keep in mind. People don't want to be sold, but they love to buy. People love to do business with people they know, like, and trust. People do things for their reasons, not yours. So just because you're excited about something doesn't mean they're going to be excited about it the same way. You need to uncover their reasons. You need to be great at asking questions, because questions lead to answers. And if you ask good questions and you get good answers, you can discover why a person would do said thing. And then your objective is to build a high level of trust with them, be able to show the value of what it is you have to offer, and then help them make the best decision for themselves based on where they currently are at and where they want to go. And sometimes you may need to push somebody to really make that decision, but you have to do it from an ethical standpoint and know that their life will be better for moving forward and making that purchase. And you often hear people say, I don't like sales, I don't want to be pushy, etc. We do sales every day. If you have any friends, if you have a significant other, you've done sales. If you've ever made a friend decide to go to a movie with you, you've sold them on going to that movie with you. Like, we do sales all the time. Sales isn't a bad thing. Sales is actually a great thing. Nothing happens without a sale. But doing it with ethics is extremely important, right? Most people, they often think of the sleazy used car salesman or something like that, which gives them this negative connotation. But I don't ever want to be that way, and neither should you. You should want to provide value to the people that you're selling to, otherwise known as you want to provide value to the people that you're helping make a good buying decision. And I also think sometimes the best decision for people sometimes is not to go forward. It's like, I'm not looking for everybody per se. I'm looking for the right people, and you should be too. If it's the last $200 that this person has and they have to choose between eating food now and investing in a permaculture design, well, they should eat food now and find something else to help change their life. You know, so the point is, you got to get really good at asking questions, uncovering things about them, find out why they would do what it is that you have to offer, and then help them make the best decision for themselves. Hopefully, the best decision is to invest and buy with you, but sometimes it's not, and you have to be good with that. You have to be able to identify that and help people, sometimes turn them away.
Yeah, great advice for our listeners there. And I agree, permaculture people do get quite funny about sales. But yeah, then some people are very good at it. I think Matt Powers is very sleek at it with the internet, the marketing. He's sort of nailed that And that side of things, there's a few really good ones out there.
Well, and if you have something of real value, you're hurting people by not talking about it, by not selling it. Right? You're doing a disservice to the world by keeping it quiet.
Yep. You know, good mindset yeah. shift there.
And I think another important piece is that people start to see everybody with dollar signs over their head. Because when you get into sales, that's kind of what it becomes. But if you can remove that and see them as people who have families and lives and feelings and, you know, responsibilities, et cetera, and you treat them as such and you deliver, right? You act with care and kindness and ethics, the right people will buy from you. It's when you get into a place of everybody's got a dollar sign over their head that you start acting weird. And it comes across, right? If everybody is money to you, you're going to be different than if you just treated people as you want to be treated. Treated them with the dignity and respect and really compassionate and cared, and you want them to be successful, you will come across much differently, and you'll also be much more successful with it overall.
Yeah, so it's the abundance mindset as well.
Yeah, just
give it out. No, that's great stuff. But great advice for permaculture professionals there. So, what's next in line for yourself and for Food Forest Abundance? Running down the road.
Well, ultimately, we want 10,000 Freedom Farm Academies built all over the world. Our company mission is food forests everywhere, in every yard, in every community across the earth. And in order to do that, we have to cross the chasm, so to speak, make the jump into the mainstream adoption. And it starts, obviously, with the early adopters and the first movers. And in order for us to really make that jump into the mainstream, we need to be able to inspire a complete shift in awareness and consciousness away from the centralized systems with the poisons towards the self-sufficient. And doing so is going to require demonstration locations because of that image that people primarily hold in their head. So our goals here are 10,000 Freedom Farm Academy locations across the earth, and then inspiring millions and millions and millions of people to go to those locations and see what is possible for themselves. And as they discover that stuff, be inspired to bring some of that home to their own life. And by doing so, we change the direction of humanity. We reconnect with nature. We empower people in a much better way. We remove the poisons from the system. People's lives become more full of energy and vitality. We stop relying so much on chemicals and these big companies that are making products that harm us. It removes some of the power of the government when we're self-sufficient. So I think it's a lofty goal, but one that we're ready for. The world is ready for. Abundance is everywhere, but there's no money in abundance. Nature is abundant.
Yeah.
And anybody who doesn't believe that needs to go outside and look at nature again. No one is growing the forest. Like when I lived on that 100 acres, we were surrounded by forest. Nobody was growing that, but it was massively alive. There was food everywhere. And that's what nature does. We just need to get out of the way and stop thinking we're smarter than it and try to control it in every capacity. Let's thoughtfully design these food production systems with the right companion plants and systems in place to capture the water and do the important stuff. And we'll drastically change the world for everybody. If everyone had an abundant supply of food, healthy food, what would the world be like if we didn't have to trade our time going to work to make money to buy food that's full of poison? What would that do for us, right?
Yeah. Definitely gardening is addition. I like that quote. think that's a Bill Mollison one or Jeff Lawton, one or two. And it's amazing how quickly, like it was like one or two generations that everybody went from having some sort of self-sufficiency to show your wealth, get your lawn.
It wasn't long. Wasn't long at all.
And then hopefully it takes quicker for a significant portion of people just to push back and go the other way.
Hey, if we don't, we're in big trouble.
Yeah. I think that's for the environmentalists, though, the Just Stop Oil protesters should go build a garden, go build a food forest.
Yeah, totally.
Put your energies into positive change rather than trying to block change. And then, as you say, you mentioned the economics of it. Once the economics makes sense for companies to switch, they'll switch.
Yeah, well, you know, we know with permaculture, we can help farmers that are currently stuck in a perpetual cycle of debt because of all the chemicals they need to buy and the fertilizers and all the stuff. And they know their soil is unhealthy. In a very short period of time, you can completely change that farm around by implementing permaculture and regenerative practices into that land. And we can remove, if they've been spraying for years, decades, you know, there's things now that exist utilizing the right microbes and compost tea systems, et cetera, that can remove that chemical from the system there. So we can completely turn this around in short order. It's going to take a lot of us, but thankfully people like you and I are out there talking about this and we're sharing the message, and more people every single day are realizing there are options and they're being inspired to take action on those options. And thankfully, we're positioned well to lead that. You know, we have serious intentions of being a leader in this space. We are one now, and well, we want to continue to do so and inspire many others along the way to step up and also do it. We can't do it by ourselves. So.
No, that's one of the inspirations behind the podcast, is to sort of showcase permaculture professions, people working in the business, to show that they're actually get people working in it.
Yeah.
And that means it's going to help it as well. So if you can do it and get paid, great. Yeah. It becomes a livelihood rather than a hobby.
Yeah. And, you know, on getting paid, my view is we get compensated for the value that we add to the marketplace. Sometimes that value is in the form of dollar bills. Other times it comes in other ways. But the reality is the more value you add to the marketplace, the more value you get back. So how can you be valuable to the marketplace? Is food valuable for people? I would argue that it's probably one of the most valuable things we could possibly have, especially if we can do it in a way where it becomes very abundant for us. We don't have to deplete our resources to have it. And if it is extremely healthy, it now provides us with more life, more vitality, more energy to go out and be more valuable to the marketplace. So what we have to offer here, what all the permaculture professionals have to offer, is valuable. So share it, be proud of what you have to offer. Add value to the world. And by doing so, you will get value back. And yes, some of that value will be in the form of money. And if you do it really, really well, you could make lots and lots of money. So you know, use the entrepreneurial creative brains that the permaculture designers have and take action on it.
Yeah, more great advice there. Is there anything else we've missed that you want to chat about?
The world's ready for this, I think. I believe we are in a great transition right now. I think that people all across the earth are realizing that we've been misled in a number of ways and that it is time to take the power back. And it starts with food. It's simple. Everybody can do it. The resources exist because nature exists. And by taking action on becoming self-sufficient, you now make more available for those who don't have. And it heals nature. Mother Nature is currently under a lot of stress from poor choices that humanity has been making because we're playing God. We can reverse that. Let's remove the poisons. Let's take our power back. Let's get into action. Let's talk about it because it's valuable. And let's inspire people to do this with us. And by doing so, we can drastically change the direction of the world today.
Yeah. And you can start by going to Food Forest Abundance and talking to a permaculture consultant. There's free strategy sessions at the minute if you're not sure how to start.
Yep.
30 minutes with a professional designer, and we'll really help you start that growing journey.
Yeah, it's an incredibly valuable service that we offer. Those free strategy sessions are available to anybody. You simply go to the Food Forest Abundance website. There's a link in the upper right-hand corner, I believe. It says free consultation. Click there, input a little bit of information. You'll be set up with a permaculture professional designer, who will sit with you and your family and help you discover what's possible for you. And from there, you can make an educated decision on how you want to proceed next. And we'd love to speak with you. So head over there and do that today.
Yeah, I've done a few, must be over nearly 20 strategy sessions now. It's nice talking to people and sort of interacting with them and getting that feedback about their own current situation, what their worries are and what they're stressed about and their motivation. So it's been good. You have a podcast as well, Jim Gale Show.
Yeah, Jim and I host a show. It's called The Jim Gale Show. We're looking at changing it to Seeds of Abundance, but right now it's still The Jim Gale Show. And we've been interviewing all kinds of world changers, people speaking out against certain stuff, people that have solutions to some of these complex problems. And it's just been an incredible experience to hear from all of these different minds that all have different value and thoughts to add. So if people want to find us, they can go to thejimgaleshow.com.
That's great. Matthew, thank you very much. Guys, that's been the Permaculture Vine podcast. If you want to check out our course, pdcdpro.com, where we teach permaculture professionals digital design. So basically much what I learned at Food Forest Abundance, creating a design from Google, going from a Google Earth picture to a permaculture design, creating your website, your portfolio, and also using Mike Jones's Gilda to create plant guilds. So that's in the description. And all Matthew's links in the Food Forest Abundance link will be in the description, including a strategy session with me if you want free 30 minutes as well, through Food Forest Abundance. Matthew, thanks very much again.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me, Cormac. I loved it.
And guys, we'll chat these next week. Cheers.